Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We have a really cool episode today. We have a special guest that we just finished interviewing, and I can't wait for the people to hear it.
I know. It's really good. And it somehow mixes our like love of vulnerability with survivalist shows.
Yes. We always say like we're super into survivalist shows, which seems weird, but they're so intuitive. So we had a guest on, Megan Krueger, and she was on the show Naked and Afraid.
She sure was.
Talk about, I mean, amazing. So you're going to hear her talk about like vulnerability and dealing with fear and like the aspect of being naked in front of people. Like she talks about all of it and she's so cool. I mean, I think she's the coolest.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
All right, Jay, we have a special guest today with us.
We do.
We have Megan Krueger with us, who is on Naked and Afraid in Colombia. Welcome to the podcast, Megan.
Thank you so much, Heather and Jamie, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So I know Megan because we live in the same town and I get to see her in the coffee shop a lot. And when I found out, Megan, that you were going to be on Naked and Afraid, I mean, I already was impressed by your whole existence and being, but like, what a badass thing to do, my friend. Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so, it was awesome.
I want to know what led you to being on a survivalist show. Like, what's the path that gets somebody to wanting to do that, to getting on the show? Like, how'd you get into that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, really, it stems down to a good friend of mine has made several appearances on the show. And, you know, she knows my appreciation and my love for the outdoors. And I've always kind of been invested in the survivor world anyways, just from like an audience standpoint. But it's not something that I had really started practicing. You know, I've always like played around in my backyard and stuff until I got really interested in being on the show. And she gave me all sorts of encouragement. It was like, just try it out. And of course, I have the natural hesitation that I think everyone has, like, am I equipped for this? Is this something that I can actually do? And I was like, you know what? You only live once. I'm just going to go for it. I want to absorb as much of life as I can, you know, in my short time here. So I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And then my mind was blown when they asked me to actually come on the show. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up there.
That's amazing. I mean, I love so many parts of that. Yeah. I just would like to tell you right now that from me and Jamie, are not at all qualified to ever be on a survivor show. You would not want us with you. We don't have that skill set at all, but we watch the shows as if we are experts. Like we watch and we look and we're like, why are they doing that? And we're like judgy about it. We're just like so into it. So just to be clear, we would suck at it. But we admire people so much, especially women who do these kinds of things. And I think like just that connection to being outside in like some sort of like past way of life that was familiar. I think it's a draw for everyone, even if you don't have those skill sets, right?
100%. And honestly, I really think that anyone can do this. And I'm not just saying that, you know, I'm not just saying that to say it. I really think if it's something that you want, you can do it. And I think that a lot of people focus so much on the physical aspect of survival, but 80% of it's a mental game, honestly. And if you can overcome those mental barriers, then you can do it. Seriously. I think you guys would be awesome.
Thanks. Maybe if you were with us and like really carrying the team, we'd have a shot. But I mean, maybe you should just like spend like a walk with the two of us and maybe you'd like rethink it. But I still love that. And, you know, the mental aspect of it, I think you're so right. And one of the things that I was the most struck by in watching the show, you being on it was the first time I ever saw the show. So,
oh, wow.
I loved it. You introduced us to it. We're very excited. But for me watching, it was like, look at all the levels of vulnerability that you had to deal with, right? There's like, first of all, on that show, you're naked. So yeah. just that. And then like, other people are naked, and then there's a crew around you looking at you naked, and then an audience is going to watch you naked. And that's not just all you're dealing with vulnerability wise. You're also trying to survive in Colombia, right? Like with nothing. And then people are going to like watch you at home later and like judge the whole, like how did you deal with all of that?
You know, I'd love to say that I was cool, calm, and collected about it the entire time, but I wasn't. So all of these same thoughts went through my head before I went to Colombia. And then again, you know, I had sleepless nights thinking about all of these things. And I think I finally got to a point, and it was right before. So obviously when I was there, and I can kind of touch on that a little bit, being naked was like the last thing in my brain. You know, I pushed that right out of my head. But I think I finally came to a place of peace with everything when I was like, you know what, this is not in my control. And so much of my life, of how I live my life, is based on fear and other people's opinions of me. And, you know, is this person not going to want to talk to me or deal with me anymore if I make decision A, B, and C? And I finally just had to come to a place where I'm like, the people who love me and want to be in my life are going to love me no matter what the outcome of this show and this experience is. And people who are going to look at me from a place of judgment or discomfort, those aren't the type of people that I want to be surrounded by anyway. So if, you know, ties are cut because of this experience, so be it. But honestly, the like reception from the community, even my school district, was so positive. Everyone has been so entirely positive. And, you know, they're either sympathetic toward me getting sick out there in the field, or they're just really excited about the experience. And that has made me feel so good and was almost unexpected. But kind of touching back to that place of vulnerability. So yeah, I'm putting myself out there on TV. I'm opening myself up to judgment. And, you know, I think one lesson that I learned from that is I don't need to worry so much. Because again, it's out of my control. You know, people are going to have their opinions. And just even the fans of the show that I don't know on a personal level came back with such positive feedback for me. Oh, we want to see her back on the show. We're so sorry she got sick. I mean, that was like 99% of the comments out there. I was worried for nothing, I think, is kind of the lesson I learned. And then as far as being naked out there, you know, I think I felt weird about it for like 5 minutes. And then my mind just switched over to survival mode. I'm like, all right, I need to find shelter with my partner. I need to worry about water and, you know, making ourselves as comfortable as possible in these elements, that you kind of just forget about it. You push it off to the side. So that's one cool thing about this. And I think because I had the realization, one thing that my partner had said is, like, your clothing is your first line of defense. And the show is not, you know, it's not meant to be sexualized. It's not meant to, you know, portray people in this light. It's really just about going out there with nothing, like stripping down to nothing and getting rid of this first line of shelter and living off of the earth as much as possible. You know, if you go out there with shoes, you can use your shoelaces for cordage or whatever. And they don't want you to have a thing. So I think I kind of had that in my mind. And then the naked part and the nudity part of it, eh, I was like, that's nothing.
I mean, well, first of all, I'm blown away by like 20 things that you just said. Yeah. So impressive. Oh my God. But the first part of it that I'm really struck by is when you're thinking of vulnerability, like you were like, okay, I have to let go of control. Like, I think sometimes we forget about the connection between vulnerability and control, right? Like, don't you feel like that's like 90% of the things that you're afraid to be vulnerable about are because they're like out of your control? Like, I can't control what these people are going to say about me or whatever, right? So that you are so smart to go like, well, I can't control this, so I'm going to let it go. Like, that's amazing.
Thank you. It's a hard thing to do. I feel like it's something that I'm still struggling with. And, you know, I'm trying to put it into my daily practice, like what things can I control and what things can't I, and just kind of letting go. And when something's airing on national TV, like, you have no control. I didn't see the edit before it aired. You know, I had people over to watch it with me, friends and family. And I was like, yeah, I just have to let it happen. And what a great outcome it was.
I mean, I'm so impressed by that. I really am so impressed by that. And I feel like that's sometimes when you watch shows like that, this, you don't expect that kind of a lesson, right? Like, you might be like Jamie and I and think like, well, like, Jamie, can you imagine us trying to do that?
No.
We could have, right? But like, so you're like, oh, I'm watching this show and I'm going to watch people do something I could never do. But you end up relating to the people and you end up learning something like what you're talking about vulnerability. And you take so many things from it that you weren't expecting. So it really speaks to like, you should try all kinds of things, even if you think you're bad at it, or even if you don't think that's your thing, or you can't do something. It's like, well, maybe just let go of control a little bit and give it a try. And you never know, right?
100%. I think, you know, that fear of failure piece plays so hard into all of this. And even when I was doing my survival classes in preparation for the show, I was nervous about going out there with a bunch of skilled people. And it's a male-dominated field, right? So mm-hmm. I was afraid of going out there with a bunch of men, you know, who were going to be potentially mansplaining things to me and, you know, right. shaming me for not knowing how to do A, B, and C. But I was met with such compassion from all the instructors and all the people. And I realized it's not just men, it's men and women. Yeah. And, you know, it kind of helped me move past that fear of failure, because who wants to do something wrong, right? Everybody wants to be an expert right from the start. And I think you just have to, you have to have grace with yourself. And even going out there, you know, I was on a mentor challenge. So production was well aware of my limited ability and my limited skill set. And they said, let's make this an opportunity for her to learn from someone, which was amazing. You know, even in just the 5 days I was there, I picked up so much from my partner, Kai. So yeah, I mean, like you said, there's so many layers to this vulnerability. And it's kind of it's awesome to expose myself in all kinds of ways, like clothing wise and personality wise and competency level. And it feels kind of good just to put it all out there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there's a scariness sometimes of like putting yourself out there. And I feel like the leading up to it's the worst part. But then once you've done it, you're like, well, I can't take it back. And like, look at like there's like a freedom in it a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, of course, it's like liberating to be in nature completely naked, right? That's so cool. Yeah. And you're like, beyond in tune with the earth. I mean, people talk about grounding all the time. And the second I started walking around outside without my shoes on, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, this is eye-opening, and it feels so good to be in tune with the earth and, you know, feel grounded, really.
I use that right away.
Yeah, really do. Yeah. And I use it as almost like a coping mechanism. If I'm feeling really anxious, like there was a day in the winter, I was like, man, I have like the winter blues really hard, and I have the happy lamp and all that. It wasn't enough. And I just went outside without my shoes on, and I walked in the snow, fed my chickens in the chicken coop, came back to the house. And I was like, that felt really good for whatever reason.
I'm so with you on this. My neighbors, I'm sure, think that I'm crazy because I do that. And I also hug trees.
Yes.
And it's like, I feel like it's worth the risk of looking like a crazy person for the benefits that you get, right? Like,
it's 100%. I can't remember the statistics, but I just saw an article about hugging trees and how it can reduce like anxiety and depression significantly. It's amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing. All right. I have to ask you about the nakedness for a minute because Jamie and I were discussing this over lunch today because we were so excited that we had to have lunch together and talk about you coming on before you came on. So over tacos, Jamie and I were discussing how there is something so amazing that happened, and both of us experienced it when we were watching the show, where, okay, it's all women. Everyone's naked, but it's not about your nakedness. It's not like, I don't think I've ever been in a space with women, even not naked, let's say even just in a bathing suit, where the conversation wasn't fully about like women apologizing for their bodies or just being sexualized. Like, and so to have something to watch where there's nakedness, right? But it was never mentioned, at least in the show. Like, there was neither of those things were brought up. And there was something really powerful about that.
Yes.
It really struck me how much that's missing from our lives.
100%. And I think one thing that I really do appreciate about this show is, you know, it's not just supermodels. It's not just super fit, you know, 20-year-olds. The women that were with me, Kai, my partner's 50.
Yeah.
I was 40 when I went on, 41 now. Yeah. You know, Gabriella, I'm not quite sure of her age, but yeah. At least 38, you know, so it's women who have lived life, who have had children. You know, I don't have kids, but both Elise and Gabrielle do, you know, and they have real bodies. And I love, like, we all have real bodies. I love that. And, you know, they have women of all ages, body types, heights. You know, I just think it's amazing. And yeah, like you said, it's not about highlighting your physical physique. And look how strong these women are, right? I mean, they're chopping wood like crazy, carrying these huge piles every single day. It's something I really appreciate. And I think, you know, it helps the audience connect and relate even more. So you're like, that's me. Like, that woman looks like I do. That's a real woman.
When do we see that without an apology attached to it? Like, right? Like, when do we see that without a woman being like, oh, I'm so sorry that I exist in a real body? Like, that's not the word, but do you know what I mean? So, like, when do you get to see women being strong and connected and here's my body, and that you're like, oh, that looks like my body? But it's not about that. It's just part of it. Like, that is so freeing to watch. Like, it's really powerful.
It is. And I don't think you ever see that. I don't.
No. So,
yeah, it's amazing. And it's not that, you know, I feel like it's our default to have those conversations, you know, because I'm like even thinking back and I'm like, what did I say to Kai? Oh, like my cellulite's really going to show up or something like that, you know? And while that wasn't my first concern, it's like my default to go to that.
It's all of ours. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so crazy.
The fact that the way the show is laid out is that we don't see any of that. And I'm sure it's weird. I mean, you said you adjusted really quickly to being naked, but I'm sure there's weird and you must have moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm naked. Or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, but it wasn't coming across to the audience. It was just, and you sort of forget like, oh yeah, they're naked, but like, look at how amazing they are, like getting water and like eating these fruits from a tree that they know to eat. Like, and there's something just so amazing about that.
It really is. And yeah. It's interesting, you know, we live in a society where like nudity is shameful, right? It's like, oh, you know, oh, they're naked. A nude beach is like a separate special section for people to hang out on. And, you know, it's just kind of cultural in America, and you go to other countries and they don't even think about it. And I think the more you sort of like immerse yourself in this world and watch the show, you just become desensitized to it too.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many episodes I've watched in the past 2 years, you know, right. Thinking about going on for the show and prepping for the show. And I'm like, seeing somebody naked now is nothing to me. I'm like, ah, you know?
And isn't that so nice?
It really is.
Yeah, I love that. I was really pleasantly surprised at that, like, that feeling and that like element to the show. I didn't see that coming, and I liked it. It was great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And really, production does such a nice job. I mean, you know, I can only say so much about anything behind the scenes, but I will just say it's such a respectful crew. There's never any awkwardness, and even just the way the show is produced at the end, I mean, they do a really, really nice job. Like you said, taking out that component entirely. So you're just there without clothes, but you're doing all the survival stuff and that's it.
Yes. Yes. Well said. I think it's amazing. I really like that about the show for sure. Now I have to ask about or talk about the fact that you got sick.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it was day 4, right? And you got sick. So, okay. What was going on? Because here's my thing. One of my biggest fears in life is being somewhere that's not my house and getting sick. And you were naked in like the woods in a cave in Colombia. Like, what went through your mind? Like, what was happening?
Yeah. You know, they do have medical staff on hand, luckily. And so if something happens, we're able to radio them in. You can see that on the episode, to kind of check in on us and make sure we're good. Yeah. You know, I think I did get a little scared, you can almost see it on day four when I'm starting to get disoriented and I'm like, oh, I don't know like where the hell I am. And I'm starting to get disoriented. And I think that's just when I started feeling really sick. Unfortunately, I had salmonella poisoning. So yeah, it was a bummer. That and one other.
Do you know how you got it? Or is that just like it could be from a million things?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, obviously we were drinking water from the stream. We were boiling it first. So that's unlikely. You know, it could have been something that I consumed in town before I was, before insertion, before I was put into the field. You know, I try to be careful, but sometimes you just, you're not thinking and, you know, I ate something with fruit in it. So who knows, that could have been it. Unfortunately, and because I, you know, haven't traveled to this extent since my early 20s, I think my digestive system just wasn't set up to fight that sort of a thing. So it just took off in my system. And yeah, I mean, it started out with like heartburn and then unfortunately ended up with vomiting, and Kai mentioned diarrhea a couple times. I was like, maybe they won't put that on, but you know, just part of what happens. She's like, you had diarrhea, runny poo, right? I'm like, yes, Kai.
Talk about vulnerability, right?
Exactly. I'm like, my students will probably watch that, but that's fine.
Also mention that Megan is a teacher.
Yes.
So the other element of like even her students watching, not just like her peers, like that element. But do you do the thing, because I do this when I'm getting sick, where I'm in denial about it, like I reason it away, like, oh, it's probably just whatever. Like, did you do that?
100%. I think you might have seen me on the show be like, oh, it's probably just acid reflux. And then I'm like, So it was not just acid reflux. And I didn't have much in my stomach, you know, to come out. It was just water that we were drinking. There was no food resources around there. So besides like the sour cane, I had a couple berries and like a handful of termites. That was it. That's all that I ate. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So it wasn't much to come up. It, like I said, just the water. But I was in denial. And then the stomach cramps kicked in. And I was like, this is unusual. There's, you know, I thought maybe ketosis at first, just because my body was purging. But like, this is not a normal. I've never gone through ketosis, but I'm like, something's wrong. You know, I know my body. And if I had stayed any longer than day five, it would have been really bad. I mean, I was already super dehydrated, which is why they sent me to the hospital. I had like 7 bags of fluids once I got in there, and then came home and went back to the urgent care center. So
deal with like, you're already afraid, right? Like you're already vulnerable and like trying to deal with how scary this is. Like, how did you deal with like this layer being like, how did you get yourself through that mentally?
You know, I think the discomfort was so strong that that kind of took over the mental piece. You know, it is scary being in a foreign country and, you know, not really knowing what's going on with your body. I suspected what it probably was. You know, I was like, oh, this is probably some sort of food poisoning or something along those lines. But yeah, it can be nerve-wracking and not really getting the answers that you need right away. You know, I had to wait till I got home to find out exactly what was going on. So there were some moments when I was scared, you know, my fever's hiking and I'm like, oof, and then I've got to take a 6-hour plane ride home. So all that was a little unnerving. But, you know, it's not the first time I've been sick. So I think I was able to talk myself off of that ledge a little bit. And really, I just had to kind of push through the illness until I can get the medical care that I needed. And, you know, it was like a 3-week period, I think, until I was fully back to normal. But worth it. 100% worth it. I wouldn't change a thing, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so impressive that you managed that and were able to keep yourself. For like at least watching you, I don't know if you're like me and like I mask so much when I am sick or hurt that like you wouldn't really be able to tell, but you just looked like you were still cool as a cucumber. You're like, yes, I'm super sick in the middle of this survivalist show in Colombia, but like it's fine, don't worry about me. It just looked like you had it together, so it was very impressive.
Thank you. I'll do the same thing. I mask. Yeah. You know, I think that's like something that stems from my childhood. I've done forever. You know, it's something that I do professionally because no matter what's going on in my life, I've got to be there and be present for the kids. So it's probably something I'm good at, which isn't great.
Yep, I understand that. Yeah.
But yeah, there was definitely a little bit of that going on there too, you know. And I knew that it was my time to go, and I kind of had to face that fact, you know. I could have gotten really emotional about it. But I was like, no, this is it. This is the hand that's been dealt, and you know, I've got to get my medical care, and hopefully I get another opportunity in the future. It's kind of just the way I looked at it. So
awesome. I think you got to have this amazing experience no matter what it was or how long, right? Like, so I just think that's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You want to know a little bit about how much in your mind, or maybe it wasn't at all, the fact that there was going to be an audience was? Because so I read, if I'm a researcher, I love to research everything. That's just who I am as a person. But I was researching all about Naked and Afraid. And I found a quote from someone who was on the show before, Blair Braverman. And she said, it was almost funny to picture myself as a stranger would see me on TV. I'd be a topic, not a person anymore. The audience was fake to me and I was fake to it. So I just was thinking about that. Like, how much of the idea that there was like an audience going to watch this were you like aware of when it was happening?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I think very little, honestly. When the camera was there, like when the camera crew was there kind of following you around, I was a little more conscious of it. And I think I was a little more careful about like things that I said and actions, you know, because I was like, okay, like I'm being filmed right now. It's hard to forget that they're there, despite the fact that they're really good about like, no, this is your thing. Like you survive.
Yeah.
So I think it was harder to be natural. The time that I was like more comfortable was nighttime.
Okay.
There are cameras there. You can see like the night vision cameras and everything. The crew production leaves, so you're completely by yourself. But I was like, oh, it's just me and Kai now. You know, I can kind of be my natural self. And I think at that point, especially, it went completely out of my brain. Like, America is going to be watching this, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, I think they like bleeped out a couple swear words that I said when something, I was a bat that was flying through the cave, and I was like,
oh, yes, I remember the bat scaring you. Yes.
I was like, it's fine. Yeah. You know, you're there your first night and it's pitch black. Like you put your hand, you know, a foot from your face and you can't see it anymore. You can only see what's right around the fire.
Right.
So you don't know what's going on. And I've slept in remote settings. You know, I camped out for a total of like 12 weeks in East Africa in my early 20s.
Oh my God.
That was really cool. That was like a highlight of my life probably.
Yeah.
So I've experienced this before, but never without like the protection of a tent. And even though a tent doesn't offer that much protection, it's kind of a farce. but yeah.
Feeling, right?
Yeah. And in those moments, you know, I didn't think about the audience. I was very honest with Kai and kind of talking about vulnerability again. It's one thing that she had said that she appreciated that I was a very open and honest partner with whatever was going through my mind, you know, and there were moments when I was like, oh, I did day one. I feel like I could go home now. Kai's like, no, Megan, you have to stay the whole time. I'm like, you're right. I do have to stay the whole time. But, you know, there are moments when I was sharing fears and concerns and whatever with her, and just not really thinking about how that might be portrayed to the nation.
Yeah.
And even when I was watching it with people around me, it still didn't feel real. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
That was me on the screen and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I think it still hasn't resonated with me that, you know, this is aired on a like multi-billion-dollar national network, right? Like Discovery Channel and HBO Max, and it's on there forever. Like I'm memorialized on TV forever.
Yes.
It still hasn't really hit me.
Yeah. So. Well, that's a lot to process and to know and to think of. So that makes sense. Yeah. You're talking a little bit about fear. And so fear is one of Jamie and I's favorite things to talk about, which sounds really strange, but is true. How did you deal with the fear parts like leading up to the show? And then like, what's your strategy when like you're afraid? Like, are you someone who's like, are you avoiding it? Are you like diving into it? Like, how do you manage that?
Yeah. So that's a tough one. I can spiral, I'll tell you. I really can.
Yeah.
So I can kind of get in my own head, and you know, fear can make you irrational. It takes over, and I think, you know, I kind of had some irrational thinking before I went. When I'm separating myself from the situation, when I'm not in it, kind of everything leading up to it, I'm like, I can do this. I have this, you know, I have my back. I'm going to be fine. I've been through harder in life, believe it or not. And I've made it here. I've made it to this level. So I'm going to be okay. But then all the insecurities creep in like 2 weeks before, you know, and I didn't have much notice. Actually, I only had about 2 weeks to know where my, I had an idea that I was going before, but it was 2 weeks ahead of time that I knew my location. I knew with 100% certainty the dates that I was going. So it was a very short window. I prepare, like I'm a planner. I don't like to not have a plan. I don't like to think that I'm going into a situation not knowing what's going on. So some of that played into the fear. And then just me thinking, like, I think my biggest hurdle, and this is really the crux of what I'm saying, is I oftentimes think I'm not good enough or I don't deserve it. And I think that's where I tend to spiral. So I'm like, I'm not good enough to have this experience. I can't handle it. I'm not capable enough to be on this show. And that's not true. You know, I got sick. And that could have been a mistake of mine. Like I said earlier on, unfortunately, that's all part of survival. But, you know, when I got there and I was going through the motions and I was living in the moment, and it was more than going through the motions. By going through the motions, I mean, I'm collecting the firewood, boiling the water, doing the things that I have to do. But I felt so in tune and so relaxed and comfortable, and all of that fear dissipated when I was there. It was gone. Mm-hmm. So the thought process, I wish there was a way that I could cope with that better, honestly. I wish I had advice for someone. I wish I could tell them what to do. And I think I wish someone gave me that advice before I went out there. Or if they did, as my friend Kayla said, you'll be fine, so many times. And I didn't believe her. You know, I was like, no, I won't. I could like trick myself into believing it. But I wish someone said to me, you don't have to be afraid. Like, you're going to be okay. You'll figure it out. Whatever you have to do. That's what humans do. People thrive in survival situations with zero experience, honestly, none whatsoever. And I at least had something under my belt. So yeah. So I would say I didn't cope with it. I just pushed through it. I just forced myself to push through. And I have my husband who's so supportive. And he was like, I don't care what you say. I'm dropping you off at the airport. You're getting on the plane and you're going to do it. And you're going to make it to 21 days. And that's kind of the hard love that I needed, honestly, in the moments when I was having so much self-doubt.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that I think you coped with it amazing. I think you coped with fear the way we all need to cope with fear, which is, it sounds like you know yourself, like you know the fear stories that are going to come up, like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy or whatever, right? Like you know it. So then when it comes, you deal with it and you have the support around you when you you need it, you have the right people there. I think that is dealing with it. I think you dealt with it amazing. So yeah. I think that like honesty with yourself. And I think that was really evident of you on the show too, where it never looked like you were like super scared or anxious, but you could tell you were being very real about how you felt. And so I think that is the way you deal with fear. I think that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. Talking about it is good. I think Kai used the word like false bravado at one point in time. She said she feels like sometimes people go on the show with this false bravado, like they have to, I'm tough, you know, nothing can happen to me. Yeah. I don't know. There's some crazy phrases that people throw out there. Like, I can't even think, but yeah. I'm going to like kick Africa's butt or something. Like that. I'm like, no, there's no kicking Africa's butt. It will kick your butt.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in Colombia, but like I said, I've been to Africa and I know what that's all about.
Yes. So, yes.
I've never been that person anyways. You know, I kind of wear my emotions on my sleeve when I can, you know, again, there's professional situations I can't, but I like to talk about how I'm feeling. I think it helps. And I think sharing my insecurities with other people opens the door for them to be able to do that too. And hopefully it's a point where we can connect, you know?
Yeah, because that's real. Like, that's authentic, and that's what we all want, right? So it's just, I think talking about it, owning it, being honest with yourself and everyone else about it, I think that is the most magical way to deal with it. And I think that allows you to learn from it instead of like run from it all the time or pretend it's not happening, right?
Definitely. I think, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, one downside to this is me personally, I will sometimes use this as a way for me to call out my faults, quote unquote, you know, before somebody else can. So yeah. That's a fine line. Like, I need to be careful that I'm not putting myself down because I'm worried that somebody else is going to do it. And I want to, you know, then I'm just drawing attention to whatever I'm insecure about. So I think it's a line to walk where it's like, okay, it's good to share your insecurities and the things that you're fearful about, but coming from a place of self-love too.
You're right. That's a very fine line, isn't it? Like, you know, I always yell at Jamie because she's the most self-deprecating person ever. I know.
Oh, no.
No, she is. But she's funny about it. So people like laugh and I want to punch them all in the face. I'm like, do not support her being self-deprecating. But so I think it's hard. But I think you're right. I think like you can come with the intention, right, of like, I want to be honest and share my feelings so we can all kind of connect and like and feel that way. And then there's the intention of like, I'm going to point it out before you can. And, you know, because I'm coming from a place of fear. So I think it is a fine line. And I think it's okay if whichever one you fall on, like you're going to screw up, you're going to go to that side, right? Like you're human. But to sort of have that awareness, like you're talking about, like, oh, like, where am I coming from in this? I think that's what's really powerful.
Exactly.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep. Beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes. I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
I was going to say, you can tell in the episode, especially I think like day one, that you are a verbal processor, like, because I am too. And so like I was watching you and I was like, oh, she's processing the things that she's seeing as she's going through and talking it. Just like, it sounded very conversational, but you could tell that like there was processing that was happening for you to like be there in that moment and ground yourself there.
Yes. 100%. I never really thought about that, but I am a verbal processor. You called it. I have to talk things out. My husband loves it.
Same. Mine does too. You're talking to two people who have a podcast for a job where it's like literally just verbal processing all the time. So we're with you. And probably why it was so great and I felt so connected to you on the show was because it felt like, yeah, I'm with her more because she's telling me how she feels. Like, so often, you know, as intuitive, empathic people, like I always just want to know how everybody feels. Like, well, but how do you feel? And like, actually. So to have that authenticity of that, I think was really, it really helped, I think, more than just us connect with you on that show.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's nice to not have to guess how people are feeling or project my own stuff on other people. Like, are they mad at me right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's going on?
So you've talked about Kai. So I want to know, so you're in this crazy situation already, right? Which me and Jamie are just constantly blown away by that you could do it. But you also are, you have a mentor, right? So you're working with another person, as someone who was never really excelled at like teamwork, like partner projects in school. As a teacher, I'll tell you, I wasn't very good at that because I just took over and did it all myself. How did you manage, and what was it like to have like, okay, this person's going to teach me, they're going to tell me stuff, I have to work with them as a team. Like, what was that part of it like for you?
Yeah, awesome. You know, I already knew a lot about Kai just from watching the show. And my friend Kayla's connected with her. And like years ago, she was like, follow this woman. She's amazing. You know, she has written books on survival. So I was already well-versed. And I was so surprised. You could see it in my face that I was like, what? Like, this is the best case scenario. you know, because of my level of respect for her that was already pre-existing, and I knew she was so knowledgeable, I was just really excited. I was excited to learn everything from her. And, you know, I hung on to every word. I just opened up my mind as much as possible. And it also like helps take some of the focus away from any discomfort. So I'm like, this is an educational opportunity for me. This is a learning experience. So, you know, I followed so closely in her footsteps, like literally and figuratively. My husband was like, you're right. You're like 2 inches behind her the entire time. I'm like, well, I'm trying to catch everything she's saying and doing, just so I could take this away from me. And even in those 5 short days, I just feel like I learned so much, from her. So yeah, it was cool. I mean, like I said, like best case scenario for that show. And, you know, if I didn't get sick, I know with her, I would have made it to day 21. No problem. I mean, she made a fire in like 2 seconds. I was like, oh, this will be cool. Like I can practice making fire. And she was like, psh, 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 and it was done. She's just so skilled and talented. And, you know, it was kind of cool too, was having her there to sort of validate some of the things that I was thinking and feeling. Cause I'm like, man, like, I know we have this cave and we don't have to build a shelter. And that was a score, total score. And it wasn't the most uncomfortable thing. Like we had sandy ground, and it was cool having the bats around. They actually kept the mosquitoes at bay. Mm-hmm. But she was talking about the fact that there was no food resources and how this is one of the harder environments that she's ever been in, between the rain and the slippery rocks that we had to climb up and down. It was hard to tell, but we had to carry firewood up a decent slope. So it was like leveled rocks, and they were really sharp and really slippery. It was kind of dangerous, which is part of the show, right? It's part of the excitement and just living in nature. And, you know, she's like, this is one of the harder environments, between the rain and the lack of resources and, you know, even kind of limited areas for water. And I was like, that makes me feel so much better, because I'm like, okay, like I'm doing this and I don't feel terrible about it. But, you know, I'm thinking all these things like, wow, there's really no food here. Is this typical? And it's not. So that was cool to have an expert there saying that it was also difficult. And it made me kind of feel like I'm not like a wimp, you know, for feeling the things that I'm feeling. So
validating. Yeah. Well, I think that your attitude of going in and just being like, I'm going to absorb as much as I can from this experience. Like, I think that I'm guessing you're that way in all parts of life, but like, to me, that's someone who's really got something down. it kind of just like, I'm just going to bet on myself and say I can do this and see what happens. And I'm just going to experience this experience and take it all in. And like, that's how you do stuff, Megan.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to remind myself to do that more in situations. I'm going to be like Megan on the show and just experience, just absorb it all.
Thank you. Yeah. I try to do it as much as possible. You know, you kind of get wrapped up in your own thing and it's hard to remember that, but you know, I'm trying to, in my 40s, it's kind of like a rebirth. I don't know. It's weird. You know, I think I feared this age. I'm approaching middle age. And I think I feared this age range for so long. And, I don't know, something in me has changed. I don't know why, but I'm like, I just want to take in as much of life as possible. Maybe because I realize that like, it's not infinite, you know, when you're younger and you kind of feel like you're invincible and you can do anything. And also I think the loss of I lost my 24-year-old brother back in 2022. And he was just a kid, you know, and he was robbed of the rest of his life. And I think that also changed something in me. You know, it made me realize that I'm here. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for him too. I'm living as much as possible. And it made me want to stop saying no to experiences. So I think that's just kind of part of this whole package, like part of why I went on the show and part of why I'm opening myself up to meeting new people and learning from people and just doing more. So
I think that's really beautiful. I think you spend like your early years and like your 20s and quite a bit of your 30s sometimes trying to just figure out what the hell you're supposed to be doing. Like, what am I supposed to do? And how is that supposed to look? And then there's some kind of freedom that happens in your 40s, right? Where you're just like, fuck what I'm supposed to do, because I did that and it was stupid and like bad things still happen. So I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it's going to be hard sometimes. And it's going to, you know, I've realized that life has taught me that, like, you know, I'm going to struggle. There's going to be hard parts and I'm just going to do my best through it and just live, right? Like that freedom and like going through something like losing your brother and the grief and like dealing with that and taking from it, from that and going like, I'm gonna do this, the things, because you could just shrivel up and go like, forget it. This life is so stupid, right? But you're like, no, I'm gonna go live. Like that's the ticket. That's the inspiration. That's what made it so you could go survive naked in Colombia. Like that's the fuel, and that, I think that's amazing. And you know, in our culture, and especially in our country, like, we vilify women turning these ages, right? Like, oh my gosh, she's 40, you know, but like, I think the more we talk about how awesome it is, the better, right?
100%. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a lot of judgment around, like you said, like what you're supposed to be doing at this age, you know, like I'm supposed to be a mom. I'm right. supposed to be staying at home and like, you know, with my husband and he's like, go. Live your life, be happy, do the things that bring you joy, which is so awesome. Like I couldn't have asked for a better partner in life. You know, and we tried the kid route and that didn't work out for us. And, you know, I had to come to terms with that at some point too. But, you know, how cool is it to kind of finally begin to say, like, I don't care, like you said, about the supposed to's, and I don't care about what other people say about how I'm supposed to live my life. They're not me and they're not going to be here with me forever. I just need to do me.
So. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Write that down. Jamie, write that down. Well, and thinking kind of along that same vein, you sort of mentioned before that like people have been like really positive in their reactions to you. But what has it been like? Like, are you surprised at what people say or like who is coming up to you? Like what's that like to get like all of a sudden, like this thing that you did a little while ago, right? Like everyone now knows about it and is reacting to it. Like, what's that been like?
Honestly, a huge relief. I had to keep it secret for so long. So, once the ads started airing, I'm like, okay, like we're in the clear. Now we can talk about this. I can share some of my experience with people. And then obviously after the show aired, I was like, that's it. Like everyone's seen it. I'm free now. I can share my experience with everyone. It was a relief and just kind of awesome. You know, I don't like being the center of attention. I was uncomfortable on my wedding day. I mean, I was appreciative for everyone that was there to celebrate, but I was like, oh, this feels like yucky for me. Like, I don't love it. I was uncomfortable for my 40th birthday. I was like, oh, like, I love that everybody's here and my husband's having this nice surprise party, but I don't like being the center of attention. So, you know, and I think also that probably comes from a place where I've like struggled with the self-love piece because I'm like, I don't deserve this. But I've really just been embracing it. And it's cool. It's a nice feeling. It doesn't always happen. So it's nice. I'm trying to enjoy the ride while it's here. I'm like, okay, people are coming up to me. People I know, sometimes strangers I don't know, and they're commending me on this thing. And I've been really hard on myself about having to go home early, like beating myself up over it.
Okay.
Yeah. I was super proud when I first came home. I was like, I did it. I did 5 days. Like, that's awesome. And then I've just been beating myself up. So having people come up to me and say that they're proud that I did the time that I did there. That's like reigniting this thing in me where I'm like, I can be happy. I can be happy about this and what I did. And then kind of seeing it portrayed on TV and reliving those moments. I'm like, yeah, like I did something that's kind of cool. So yeah, it's been nice. It's been really nice.
I know. Isn't it funny? Yeah, absolutely. Isn't it funny how like we just look at like, how can I find the failure in what I did? And like you focus on that, like you're like, oh, I got sick on day five. But like, so I like, oh God, you know, I'm so bummed. But like the rest of us are like, oh my God, Megan went to Colombia and survived and like was on a show. Like you have that experience for the rest of your life to like think about and talk about and inspire you. And like that, no matter what it looks like or how long, like what your expectation was for it, like what it was, like it's so badass and cool. Like it was your experience, right? So isn't it funny how we do that to ourselves, but then it takes kind of other people reacting for us to go, oh yeah, like that was really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd love to get to a place where I don't have to like seek that external validation from people, you know, I'm doing the work, putting in the work to get there. But yeah, yeah. But I'm glad that I have the support of the people in the community and outside the community and, you know, the people at my school, my colleagues, students who have like come up to me and said the most amazing things. You know, I think it's like weird for the 8th graders to talk to me about it. I get it. But you know, high school students who have come up to me and be like, wow, I'm so proud of you. It feels so good. It really does. So, you know, I'm in a place where I'm super appreciative of it. And, you know, I think it's allowed me to, again, like give myself a little grace in that situation and be like, no, I tried something that was really hard. And you know, if the opportunity comes again, I'll push myself again. So it's awesome.
I love that. I was just going to ask you, would you do the show again? Like if someone said, would you do this? Would you do it again?
100%. Yeah, I definitely would. I wouldn't say no. I'm hoping that they reach out in the future and ask, and you know, I get an opportunity for redemption is what they call it. So, you know, the 21-day redemption. Yeah, I think it just feels unfinished to me. I don't feel like I have anything to prove to anyone else. And, you know, maybe a small part of me is like, okay, I want to prove to myself that I can make it the 21 days. But I think more than anything, what I really wanted was that gratification on that 21st day. Like I see how excited people are and they're celebrating and they're like, yes, I did it. I made it to this mark where, you know, 21 days is as long as you can go without food before you're like, it's imperative that you have nutrition, right? So, and sometimes people, it is a starvation challenge. They're just like not eating anything, you know, almost until the end. And I feel like, yeah, just, I want that, you know, I have plenty of reasons to celebrate with this show, but I want that 21 mark. And then it'll feel finished for me. And then I'll be like, all right, I did it. If I get another chance to go, it's great. And if not, at least I have that. And even if I don't get asked back, I still have this experience. It's amazing. I don't take it for granted one day.
Yeah, I think sometimes we sort of put this pressure on ourselves to be like just always satisfied with something like, oh, but I want more or whatever, right? But like that's intuition, that's desire, right? Like this was great and now I also want this. Like there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Well, speaking of intuition, I am always struck. I think people are surprised that Jamie and I like survivalist kind of things as to not qualified survivalists. Camping would be hard for us, Megan, like it's really close. But I'm always struck by how intuitive survivalists are, right? Like, like trusting your instincts, obviously, like connecting to nature, obviously, but also like having to be creative and like on the spot and just do something. Like, how do you feel that comes into play with stuff like this?
Oh, huge. And I think honestly, it's human nature. I think most people who are in those situations, as long as you can keep a cool head, right? Because I actually listened to a podcast where they talk about fear being the number one factor, the number one reason why people perish in these situations, because they become afraid and then they make mistakes. So I think if you can kind of talk yourself off that ledge and calm yourself down enough to look at your resources around you, that intuitive piece kicks in and you start figuring out how to live and work with nature and with the resources around you. I remember my first exposure to like a survival type situation was Hatchet. I feel like everybody's read that book. And, you know, reading about Brian in his plane crash and having to live in the woods and, you know, just kind of figuring things out by trial and error. And, you know, that's part of it too. You, of course, you have to be careful, you know, especially when you're eating things like berries, you know, poisonous, and mushrooms I tend to stay away from because those freak me out a little bit. I'm not well versed in that area, but, yeah, just, I was kind of amazed by his intuition, right? Because he figured out, what he needed to do to survive. He was just, it's a fictional story, but, you know, it's by an author who lives off the land, has lived in the harshest environments. Gary Paulsen ran the Iditarod with his dogs. I read that book too. Yeah. So yeah, I think we all have it in us. It's just a matter of like calming ourselves enough to realize what we have, the tools that we have around us.
Yes. That's so well said. I just think people don't connect stuff like that to intuition, right? Because we've, you know, Jamie and I talk about this all the time. Like we've, it's sort of in our culture made intuition like this kind of like really woohoo thing. And like it, part of it is, you know, but like there's so much more like everyday, every human person's experience in intuition. And I think you can really see it in situations like this. So,
absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. So besides getting sick, what do you think was like the hardest part of being there?
Probably collecting firewood and keeping the fire going. Okay. Yeah. It was a really wet area. We were there during rainy season, during monsoon season, and it rained every single day. So the firewood was scarce and, it kind of smoldered rather than burned. So we didn't ever really have like a really good flame going. So that was probably the most challenging task. I mean, I prepared myself mentally for that anyways. And talking, with my friend Kayla, who's been on the show, she was like, no, that's like an all day, every day task is just collecting as much firewood as possible. And Kai, being the expert survivalist that she is, she knew we had to have an abundance, like more than we needed. We had to leave it in the cave to dry out. So yeah, that was definitely a challenge. And, you know, I didn't expect it to be easy, but that was harder than not eating, honestly.
Wow.
I was kind of fine with not having food.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, do you think that's the situation or do you think your body just does that after a little bit of time?
It's hard to say. I think some of your, like some of the primal part or primal functions of your brain and your body kicks in anyway. So I think, you know, my brain kind of, we're like at home. I'm like, oh, well, it's 3 o'clock. I need my potato chips and dip or whatever, you know, like I need my snacks. I think my brain there was like, yeah, we're not going to think about food. Like we're just pushing that right out because the resources aren't here. You're probably not going to eat for a long time. So that was kind of cool. You know, that's not something I've ever experienced before. I love food. I'm like, I'm a food junkie. You know, I love pasta. I love all the heavy carb, heavy sugar stuff. I love restoration.
Yes.
So yeah, I think, you know, being there without food and coffee, that was really, really hard. Because, you know, unfortunately I drink a lot of tea. I drink a lot of coffee. I outrightly have a caffeine addiction. I love it. So it gets me through the day. You know, that I have to wake up early for work. So going without that was kind of difficult, but I primed myself once I had that 2-week warning period, I was like, all right, I have to start weaning myself off. So I wasn't completely off the caffeine, but enough. But yeah, your body just, it figures it out. It's like, no, I gotta not think about food. I gotta focus on survival and, you know, the two most important things before food are shelter and really fire so you can boil water. Food is like last concern.
Isn't that amazing that your brain just knows to do that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It is. And I'm sure like if I had stayed there longer, the starvation piece really would have kicked in. I would have started feeling hungry. And you do, you know, even after just 5 days, I was feeling a little weaker and slower and the cognitive processes were a little slower than normal, but Yeah, it's amazing what your body can do, what it can push through.
Agreed. Agreed. Was there anything that you were expecting to be really hard, but it was like easy, or something that was easier than you expected?
Oh yeah. I was sure we were going to go there and have to build a shelter. And that is so, it's calorie consuming, you know, it's time consuming. You have limited light there. And then if it's raining and you're trying to build in the rain. So I think that was one thing that I was kind of stressed about. You know, I've practiced with my survival school. I've practiced at home. I was in the woods like the week before I left in the summer heat with the mosquitoes building a shelter. And, you know, my husband was kind of watching over and he's like, this is horrible. Like, I don't know how you're going to be able to do this there. But, you know, it's a labor of love and teamwork. I was fully prepared for it, and how cool that you create something that you get to spend the night in. Right. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised that we had this like pre-made shelter. The caves were perfect. You know, I thought I had some concerns about sharing. I love bats, but I had some concerns about sharing a space with them. I know it's not like great to sleep in bat guano. Yeah. Fungi that grows in there and, you know, right. It can make you sick. But I was like, yeah, like, we'll be fine. And we were fine.
Yeah. That's amazing. When the bat, there's a moment on the show when a bat scares Megan and you recovered so quickly. And I was on my couch, like very safe, like heart pounding for like 45 more minutes.
That's so funny.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All right. Love bats.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I have like bat, well, this little broom guy back here is hanging up on a bat, but I have bat decorations all over my house. I love them even before I went on the show, and I love them more now because, you know, they're, I think some people look at them like vectors of disease because they carry the highest rate of rabies, I guess, out of any mammal. But they're great. They keep the mosquito populations down. I think they're wicked cute. And if I knew that sound was a bat, I wouldn't have freaked out. My first thought when I saw them, I was like, oh, they're so cute.
So. For everyone who's listening and not watching, first of all, you should watch. But like there, Megan has in the background a literal witch's broom hanging up with a bat on top of it. So if you're like, oh, is she intuitive girl witchy too? Yeah, there's literally a broom hanging behind.
Yep.
Oh yeah, all the sage and candles and Palo Santo and all that stuff.
I love it. I love it. All right, I wanna just end with asking you what the biggest lesson or lessons were that you just took from this experience.
I think the biggest lesson for me was that I can do things that are harder than I could have ever imagined, and that. In the end, you know, while I had Kai there and she was an amazing mentor and amazing partner, like I have my own back. I know what's right for me in the moment. I know what I need to do to get through a difficult situation. And, you know, it's easy when you have a partner and you have friends that you can rely on. It's easy to almost like relieve yourself of some of your duties and responsibilities for you. Cause you're like, oh, I have this great support system at home. But at the end of the day, like you're there for you, you have you. And I think that was the biggest lesson for me. And I realized that I really can depend on myself. Like it doesn't always have to come down to my connections and relationships with other people. Like I have me. So that for me was the biggest eye-opening part of this whole experience.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It almost, Megan, not all the way. It almost makes me want to do a survivalist thing. No, I'm not there yet, but like, it's that inspiring.
You should. You really should. I bet you would rock it. Seriously. The both of you.
I think that's a super nice thing of you to say.
It's true. You know, you don't necessarily have, if the naked and afraid part freaks you out a little bit, there's so many, schools and classes, even in Massachusetts, there's people willing to do private lessons and, you know, just doing like a little bit of extreme camping. It's so cathartic.
That's amazing. Well, maybe you can teach me, Megan. Maybe I'll trust you and you can take me. And then 20 minutes in, we'll have to call Jamie to pick me up. You're like, this is to go home.
I would love to. I wouldn't let it be miserable. I promise. It'd be really cool.
I would trust you. All right, well, thank you for your time. I already thought you were amazing, but I think you're even more amazing now. And I love that this experience it was hard, but it gave you a lot. And I think the best thing you can ever take in from any situation is like, oh, I can bet on myself, right? Like just that knowledge, I think it can completely change your life. So I think that's amazing. And I think you're amazing.
Thank you. Well, I think you both are amazing. I honestly love your podcast. I'm so happy to be a part of this. You know, I've been popping on the Instagram page and listening to whatever I can listen to there. I feel, again, so honored and fortunate that you invited me on the show. And I really appreciate you asking me great questions and allowing me to tell my story from a different perspective. So it's been fantastic.
We appreciate it. Thank you for letting me slide into your DMs. And I was like, I had to ask my husband. I was like, can you tell her to accept my friend request?
Absolutely. I would have anyways, even without him saying anything, I would have seen your name and accepted it right away. So you guys are amazing. Seriously.
Oh, thank you. You're amazing. Yeah. Thank you again.
Hey everyone, Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.